Today is World Communion Sunday, worldwide, and to give you explanation of that, that is worldwide of many denominations, like the Methodist Lutheran, and it was organized many years ago in conjunction with scholarships and things given to young people, some ethnic groups, racial groups and things like that. The fund was started to help those in particular needs, but also to encourage churches worldwide to unite together in celebrating the Lord's Supper and the sacrifice He paid for the sins of the world, uniting together. And the scripture says when we take this bread, this cup, we take it together in remembrance of the Lord. So there's a great significance in why this is recognized worldwide to all of the Protestant churches and churches worldwide who celebrate the death of Jesus Christ in taking communion together. So look in our scripture this morning. We want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17:34. I know this is kind of a lengthy text, but in looking at this text, there's a great significant of information that Paul gives us when it comes to taking the Lord's Supper together. And there's a challenge that Paul offered the church at Corinth to take it very serious. And even though their intentions was well, but their complacency took over in many situations, and then he had to draw attention to that, and we will see that in verses 17 through 22. And then there's a seriousness of the Lord's Supper, and that's verses 27 through 34, and we'll talk about that, and the significance of the Lord's Supper, which is probably the most important of the message today, the significance of the Lord's Supper. So as we look at that this morning, I want to draw attention to that this is the main message. And I hope as we share this special communion, and when we take the bread and cup together here in a few minutes, we'll recognize a special and refreshing connection between us and the Lord Jesus Christ and why He gave His life for us. Now, the key issue right here this morning is when we come to the Lord's Supper, we are to have a fresh encounter with Jesus that leaves us awestruck with the magnitude of the great sacrifice that He paid for us. And sometimes, as we will see in the scriptures here this morning, that it's possible to celebrate the Lord's Supper and never really understand what it's all about. And that's what Paul points out, and I want us to pay close attention to what he says in these early scriptures as I read these in a few minutes. But let's begin reading our text this morning, beginning with verse 17, which says, now, at the very beginning in chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, be imitators of me just as I am of the Lord. And he goes on and encouraging the Corinthian church to follow his example and do what God has called us to do when it comes to worshiping and sharing in his the Lord's Supper, which is the latter part of this chapter. So verse 17 says, but in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that divisions exist among you, and in part, I believe it. Okay? For there must be also be fractions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk. Verse 22. Then Paul says, what? Do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and share those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? In this I will not praise you. Now, here, since he's got their attention of what they haven't been doing correctly, now he goes into the part where it's observance of the Lord's Supper. And Paul clearly states here in verse 23 as we go to it. For I received from the Lord, he said, myself, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, and we'll be looking at that in a few minutes, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now verse 28. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come. He will take care of other business when he comes. So, there, Paul, he gives a strict evaluation of what was taking place at Corinth. Many of the rich were taking advantage and not taking it very seriously when it came to the Lord's Supper, and those who were suffering or hungry were going in need. So, to give you an explanation of where Paul is coming from here, in those days, believers took communion or the Lord's Supper every week when they got together to worship the Lord. Now, we never are told how often it's supposed to take communion or the observance of the Lord's Supper, whether it's weekly or whether it's monthly, quarterly, or even yearly. So there's not a required time when we are to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But it's very clear that we are to celebrate it together when we come together to honor the Lord's sacrifice. So I want to give you a little background here this morning about the Lord's Supper was celebrated in the early church. Now, a special meal was associated with the Lord's Supper, and it was called the Love Feast. Okay, if you didn't know then, and that Love Feast comes from back years and years ago, when the Israelites were released from Egypt and they were headed to their promised land and so forth. So every week before they would celebrate the Lord's Supper, they would get together for a meal. And while it sounds like a good thing, and it does sound, and you know, we get together for a meal, and that's a good thing, and I really enjoy those, and you do as well. But when we come together for a meal, it's a meal, but when we come together for the Lord's Supper, it's special. And that's something we don't take for granted, and we are, and when we come to observe and take the Lord's Supper together, it, we do it in remembrance of the Lord and His sacrifice for us. And it's a good thing that we come together. So, but it had become primarily a social occasion, and that's why Paul said, you know, when I come, I'm going to be addressing other things with you. But he was very upfront, displeased by the way things were transpiring. So this is what happened. The love feast at Corinth was filled with division and drunkenness. A pastor shared with me, not of our denomination, just recently, he confided in me and so forth, that that's the way it has become in his particular church and denomination. And when he was sharing this, I thought, well, it takes me back to what was taking place right here. And Paul addressed it. And he said, I'm at wit's end. He said, I don't know what to do. I mean, it's become a big problem. And I wanted to say, well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, start verse 17, and share that with your people. And hopefully through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Christians understand the importance of coming together for a meal is a meal, but when you come together for the Lord's Supper, it's specifically lined out how we are to take it and observe it and celebrate it together. Now, in this atmosphere where celebrating Christ's sacrificial death should have been front and center, Jesus had been forgotten. They had taken it for granted. And the special service intended to remind his followers of the sacrifice God made in sending his son for the world's sin, what had become a mockery. It had become a mockery. So the Lord's Supper is to be a time when all of us remember what Christ has done for us and reflect upon how our shared need of salvation kind of unites us all together. That's what it's all about. It's an awestruck examination of ourselves as we come. You know, grace, God gave us grace and mercy when he went to the cross and died for our sins. And I often think about when Christ was on the cross and he looked down at all the people that had placed him up there, and that would include us, because we're all born sinners within this world, and we all come short of God's glory. But he looked upon all the people with compassion, as he always did, and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So that's compassion. That's why we should really take an evaluation of our lives when we come to the Lord's Supper and do it in a spirit with the Lord. As Paul says, imitate Christ, what he does in our life. Now, the second part of this message is the seriousness of the Lord's Supper, and I kind of doing the end before I do the middle part, because the significance is, as Paul shares it here, is to how to approach the Lord's Supper. So to approach this special celebration in an unholy way was nothing short of sin. That's what Paul is saying here. And while that may seem harsh, and Paul may, he was calling it straight out, He was telling it like it is. It's exactly what Paul says. He begins this final part in chapter 11 where he says in verse 27, I won't go back to that verse 27, because so he says, so if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty, sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was exactly what was happening, and Paul addressed it. He was not ashamed to address it. He's not ashamed of the gospel, neither should we. And we should take heed of the scriptures every time. We should, you know, when we come together on Sunday morning, we know we're going to be taking our communion together. This is the passage of scripture that each one of us should read before we even come to church, to remind us the importance and significance of the Lord's Supper. And we should not take, like Paul says, do not take it in an unworthy manner. So Paul goes on to say that anyone who does this is in danger of God's judgment. Yes, he loves us. But if you recognize any of the scriptures in the Old Testament, when even the priest who were set aside to offer sin for the sacrifice of the people of Israel, and when they did not follow the strict commands of God, their lives were taken because they did not take it seriously. Now, so let's notice what Paul's warning at the end of verse 29 is. If we eat and drink unworthily, we are eating and drinking God's judgment upon ourselves. That's what Paul is saying here. So it's a serious warning that none of us should ignore. And in fact, in verse 30, it takes a little bit further and says that some members of the congregation were weak, sickly, and already dead. That's what he means when he says they are asleep. That means they died because they took the Lord's Supper and they did not take it seriously. Now, looking at this passage of scripture here, the key point here is that we must make sure we don't take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And I appreciate the way that we do us take it together and observe it together. And that brings us to the key question here. What does it mean to take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? And that's what I want to share with you, what I think it means here, according to what Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. To take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner is to focus on something besides our great need for Christ, that great sacrifice, or God's grace in making Jesus that sacrifice. That's what it means to me, and that's why I want to share it to you, so you better understand where Paul is coming to from as well. And to put it in another way, God's judgment comes when people who should know better take his son's death lightly. Oh, it's very seriously. You know, when we think about our nation and the sacrifices of men and women in our country, I think too many times people who have not been through those situations or have family members who have died on the fields of battle don't truly understand the sacrifice and the things that really goes through the lives of those who have lost loved ones. And when Jesus was on the cross, his family, his mother and friends and one disciple that were there felt that horrendous pain wrenching through their bodies and through their minds and through their souls. And they took it very seriously. and yet didn't understand the magnitude of why Christ went to the cross and had to die for our sin. But God the Father said, "My Son so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." My only begotten Son. That's the magnitude of the sacrifice and the love that Christ shares with us. Now, the unworthy manner here. To take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner is to focus on something besides Christ. So, also, and to put it another way, God's judgment comes to people when they know better, but they do not take it seriously. Instead, Paul tells us what we should do in verse 28 when he says we are to examine ourselves. Look within ourselves. That's what Paul is saying. Look deep within. What is my motive? What is my reason? What is the purpose of my taking this? So we are to make sure that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are focused on our sins and God's great gift and not impressing someone else. We never want to impress or try to impress anything or anyone else other than Christ. We show our love and gratitude to him. Now, finally, the significance of the Lord's Supper, verses 23 to 26. And this is a sacrifice Christ made. It's so big. It's so huge. It was the sins of the entire world. Yet, it was also a personal thing because it was for each one of us. And the focus of the Lord's Supper is, guess what? It's on the Lord. It's on the Lord. Now, the key word in the middle section is remembrance. Christ says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So Jesus gives this instruction, verse 24, when he says, do this in remembrance of me. And in verse 25, he said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Going back to what I was saying earlier, it doesn't give any specific time frame, whether weekly or monthly or biweekly, monthly, or yearly, but as often as you do it in remembrance of me. See, Jesus gave it to his followers on that night when they celebrated the Passover together in the upper room. And the Passover had been the means of remembering what God had done when he delivered them from Egypt. Here they had prayed for over 400 years to be delivered, and God delivered them. And it is a reminder to them what God did for them as they came to him on their hands and knees and praying to be freed from the exile. And yet they are to remember what God did for them. It was bitter, the bitter herbs and the sacrifices and so forth as they endured over those 400 years. And God said, remember what I've done for you. Remember the sacrifice that Jesus paid for your sins because of going to the cross. So Lord's Supper is about remembering what Jesus did when he went to the cross. It's about recognizing his great sacrifice and our great need for that sacrifice. It's about recognizing his great sacrifice and our great need for that sacrifice. It's something to really think about. And in conclusion this morning, the Lord's Supper is meant to help us. This is the taking this the supper together is to help us remember what Christ did for us on the cross. He went to the cross for us because we were sinners. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And he died on Calvary, a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And he did it for you, he did it for me. And you see the skull there. Looks like a skull on the side of the mountain, right outside of Jerusalem, right above there where Christ was crucified, along with the thieves. That's Calvary. So Jesus' death on our behalf is one that we must accept and we must make it our own. It's very personal. And if you are here this morning, or if you're listening this morning to our service, God is speaking. And if God is speaking to your heart, I pray that you will respond to his gracious call on your life. We are called to examine ourselves. And in closing, now is the time to examine our own lives, and in doing so, to make peace with God. And that's just one thing I say to people, that they know they don't have much longer to live. Have you made peace with God? You got to make peace with God. Not only making peace, but you got to have peace with God. We make peace with God by remembering his sacrifice and being willing to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with him of our sins. He is a gracious God, a loving God. He is a forgiving God and will forgive every one of us of our shortcomings. Our Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. And Lord, we thank you that as we come together this morning to observe the Lord's Supper, as Paul laid out the instructions, may we take them very seriously as well. And I know we do. But there's examples in your word there at the Corinth Church, and ones that I've heard here recently. You're not taking it seriously. Lord, there will be a judgment one of these days. But Lord, you're the righteous judge. And therefore, on our part, we are to examine our own lives. And therefore, after we do that, and you reveal with your Holy Spirit what needs to be changed or given up in our lives, then we are worthy. You make us worthy through the sacrifice and being a child of God. That's what makes us worthy. But Lord, we want to make sure we're in full fellowship with you, that our sins are forgiven and will be forgiven, past, present, future. But when the Holy Spirit surfaces these things in our life and draws our attention to those, and then that's when we make things right with you. We praise you and we thank you for this opportunity to observe this supper together called the Lord's Supper. And we do it in your name. Amen. As we stand.